The first time I remember getting in trouble as a kid was my mom was on the toilet. And I had to have been like 2 years old, and she says, go get me some toilet paper. And I have a freakish memory, so bear with me. This is a true story. I didn't really know what to do because I didn't understand where she kept it. So I just like kind of looked around in some cabinets. Also, I'm probably like a foot and a half tall or something. And then I just wandered outside and was just like looking at these flowers and daisies, and then I just like was like, oh yeah, my mom. And so I heard her calling for me. I go back in and she's still on the toilet. And she's like, where's the toilet paper? What are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know where it is. And she said, are you lying? And I'd never heard that word before, but I had heard the word lion. And I was confused. I was like, what? Am I a lion? I don't understand. So that was, but I could tell that she was like disapproving of my behavior or something I had done. But I didn't really understand what was going on because I was really tiny and I didn't get it. So I knew I felt bad, and I felt like the sense of feeling like I had done something wrong, and I was ashamed, but I was also confused at what it was. I didn't understand. So flash forward to the first grade. This is going to be a long story. So the first grade, I have this memory of being in the principal's office and just being a tiny kid and looking at the back of a big ass computer, like a box computer monitor, and the teacher with their like who shot the couch, like puffy shouldered blazer, being, or the principal, whoever the fuck that was, they're like typing on a computer and they're saying, do you understand this is gonna go on your permanent record? And I was like, what? And at the time when she asked me that, I didn't really understand what was going on my permanent record because I couldn't remember why it was there. I didn't really get it. And also I started thinking about my permanent record, and I was like, oh, I didn't understand that. And it kind of reminded me of like when my grandmother would talk about God looking at you, and you know, when you die, there's this permanent record. And I was like, is there just like this invisible script that's just right outside of the view line? And every time I do something that I do or don't know is good or bad, somehow it gets on that script. And if I collect enough bad, I'm gonna get fucked up and I don't even know what's gonna happen to me. So it like kind of made me feel a little spooky, but I didn't start crying or anything. I just kind of like, I just kind of nodded, and I thought, okay, so I guess from here on out, there's nothing I could do to undo my bad business, so I am damned. And I guess I could just relax now, because it's basically all downhill from here. And after that, I just kind of, I mean, I didn't need a lot of reasons to check out. Like, I didn't feel especially engaged with at school. And so I just felt, you know, impartial. And if I got bored, I would just say I needed to use the restroom. And then I would just start wandering around the school and exploring things by myself. And then eventually somebody would catch me or something, and then I'd have to go back to class and write my name on the board. And I think writing my name on the board was supposed to be an act of shame, but I just thought, well, this is only written in chalk, but there's like an invisible God script somewhere that already has my name on it. I'm a bad girl, and this is nothing. This is what it's like to live on the underside. I've crossed over. So, I mean, I would get in trouble sometimes. I wasn't like particularly intense, but when I got to middle school, it was like the fifth grade, okay? So I started cutting class with like the bad kids, the cool kids, and I mean, it was fun. I just felt like school was so alienating, and home life could be alienating, but it was like you could just steal away and take a walk with these kids that are accepting you in a place where you feel like you don't belong anywhere. And sometimes doing something bad was like a rite of passage, so that it told the other baddies that, you know, you were one with them. And there's so many weird times I ditched class. I used to love doing it. And there's something kind of scary about a child wandering around in the streets. Like, anything could have happened, I guess, but it was mostly fine. Anyway, I started getting in trouble for things like wearing a safety pin in my ear, or having like a slight midriff shirt, or having my boxer showing, because I used to wear in the seventh grade, I used to wear huge JNCO pants with my boxer showing, like skater shoes, huge pants, my boxer showing, and then later a little strip of a thong showing, and like a slight midriff shirt, which is a crazy outfit, but I thought it was cool, and the principal didn't. So anyway, I started going to the timeout class or whatever, and then because also I was tardy a lot, because my mom would just drop me off whenever she felt like it, so I didn't I didn't always have permission to like walk myself to school or whatever, depending on what town I lived in or whatever. So a lot of times me being late was because my mom dropped me off late. But it made me so I'd have to stay after school, I'd have to do Saturday school. I just started getting used to the concept of, if I contest this and say, oh, it's actually not my fault that I got here late, or I say, my fucking outfit isn't hurting anyone, then I just get met with more hostility. So I just kind of surrendered. I'm like, okay, well, what are they going to do to me now? And it kind of weirdly made me more confident. So I just felt like, okay, I'm unfuckwithable. Because, like, what are you going to do to me next? You know? So I didn't really go that extreme in my baddie parade or whatever. But, like, I don't know. It just started showing me something about justice, which is fairly imperfect. You know, they say justice is blind, and I just want to talk about the little micro reality that I experienced, and that you're late, we don't care about your excuses, we don't care that it literally doesn't make sense that you, a minor, couldn't get here on time and that's your fault. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, it's not thorough. Justice is, whatever, which way the wind blows, and, like, what is, the hard lines of if in, you're in or out, if you're drawing within the lines is, like, really unforgiving on what that is, and the laws aren't based on, like, human ethics entirely, because human ethics are solid gold standard stuff, like, compassion, love, like, you know, the Ten Commandment kind of thing. Like, those are all things that matter, but it's not like those are literally translated into laws. So, for example, I think that infidelity is so fucked up, and I think that it should be illegal. I mean, that's just how I feel, but it is not. You can lie to someone, you could cheat on someone, you can really fuck shit up, and there's nothing that's gonna happen to you. Like, you don't have to pay a fine, you don't have to go to jail, you don't have to, like, put it on your permanent record or whatever. But if you don't pay a parking ticket, you can literally go to jail. And when you unwind it and unravel it, you're like, oh, okay, this person parked in front of a hydrant when they were dropping off a cake to their niece's birthday because it was really heavy, and then they had to, blah, blah, blah. There's always like the story, right? And the justice doesn't give a shit about that. You know, it's like, well, did you cross this line? And whoever drew this line was in some kind of magical wizard position where they can, like, redefine the shape of a culture and society. And the weird, wacky game of the judicial system is they're like, okay, so we hit a bunch of laws everywhere, and we're not going to tell you what they are. But if you accidentally step on one of them, it's going to explode in your face like a fucking landmine. So good luck, guys. I mean, I don't know if you had a special class in your school or something, where they're like, okay, here's all the laws. You literally have to study law to know the laws. Like, we don't know the fucking laws of our country. I mean, we know the basic ones, like, you know, driving laws, or, you know, you imagine, like, okay, don't burn down someone's barn, don't steal someone's purse, that kind of thing, duh. But there's a lot of tricky little bitch laws, you know. And that being said, like, I can't even imagine how progressively intense it is. Again, listen, this is the little powder puff wedding cake cookie of being on the wrong side of the law. Some tiny white girl that, like, got in trouble at school. Yeah, this is like child's play, okay? And that's how it made me feel. You know what I mean? So imagine in broader circumstances how that plays out for more people. So I want to start getting into statistics around, our country, and there's millions of people that are incarcerated in this country, and some are for petty crimes, or some are, a lot of times, these are how crimes work too. Oh, you did this bad, bad, bad. Okay. Now you have to go to jail. Okay, you can't pay bail? Okay, you're gonna have to stay in jail. Yeah, that was a misunderstanding or whatever, but you accidentally did this or that incorrectly, so you're gonna have to have a felony instead of a misdemeanor. And now you're going to have to be on probation for 11 years. Oh, if you have to move cities and they won't reschedule and, like, put you in a different program over there where you have to check in and go to, like, this workshop, we're gonna fine you and you're gonna have to go back to jail. And this is gonna, oh yeah, okay, so you have to go back to jail because now you're on probation and now you've already fucked up. Oh, this is like your third strike, when originally the original initial, like, whatever crime has happened a long time ago and has much since been resolved. I mean, like, I think if you're rich, you can, like, really wiggle out a lot of these little loopholes. But I mean, I personally have known many people who just got in the system and can never wiggle free. And not everyone has a fucking platinum executive function where they're like, okay, I'm gonna show up. A lot of people are living their goddamn lives. And I think that sometimes, with the added PTSD that comes with hard times that gets you into the position of the incarceration system. I don't know why I said it like that. I think I need to have a sip of water and my throat's getting dry. Anyway, so it's a fuckball. It's a goddamn mess. And in my humble opinion and observation, it's a great mill to keep up slavery, all right? You know, you have these people that they're like, do not pass go, do not collect $100. You fell in this tiger pit. We're gonna take you and we're gonna put you in a little box and we're gonna make you work your ass off for nothing. And we're gonna charge you like a weird amount of money for a crappy bar of soap. So Yeah, like taking away people's sovereignty so that you could, why? You know, why is it for? For slavery. You know, it's for slavery. That's what I think. That's what I fucking think, all right? And you're welcome to reach out and like have a different opinion and start a dialogue around that. But I think that the laws are created by people in power, and they don't necessarily reflect genuine human values. Though I wish everyone to have a space for rehabilitation, I don't know if that's what jail is. You know, a lot of people I've known coming out of jail, like, it made them more cagey and less rebuilt, like, less able to, not every person that I've known coming out of jail, but a lot of people, like, coming out of prison and whatever, like, it makes them feel less a part of society, not more integrated into society, not more healed into society. So that's one thing. But the other thing is, sure, there's, like, some people, like, I mean, I watch Forensic Files. I know some people are out of their mind psycho, and, yeah, probably not rehabilitatable, you know, and they should not be able to go snatch a bunch of little kids to cut their heads off or whatever. Like, definitely there's some fucking monsters in this world, for sure, but I don't think that is every fucking person in prison. That's just, that's not goddamn possible. And if it is, how is that happening? And why are we responding this way? Bigger picture questions. But that's not what justice is about. Justice, she doesn't care about that shit. She's like, are you on this line or that line? I'm moving forward now. Okay, you're over there. Fuck off. It's not a compassionate card. In earlier episodes of this podcast, I was doing interviews with different kinds of witches and warlocks and magical people and spiritual ideas and whatnot. And I interviewed someone who grew up in Old Salem. And so we're talking about it. And while doing this, I kind of found out that I have an ancestor who was one of the first Americans to be hung as a witch. Because in America, we hung the witches, not burn them. That was an English thing. So, anyway, it was lawful to hang someone who was suspected to be a witch. Can you fucking register that? How crazy is that? So, clearly, lawfulness is not the same thing as ethical justice. It's not the same. It's not the same. And who's providing these laws? People who already have the upper hand and are going to lean on things that benefit them and support their own worldview. So it calls into question, who the fuck views the world in a way where you think it's okay to murder people who you think is a magic witch who can, like, make your livestock die or whatever? So I think that there's something broader than the judicial system, but the judicial system is like a weird puzzle. It's like that Hellraiser metal box where you have to figure out how the fuck to unlock it. And once you do, it's just a portal to hell. So what the fuck? What are we doing? But that being said, it's a power. It's a huge power, and it must be dealt with in its own way. And so every single tarot card, but especially the major arcana, is about something, a power that is within the human collective. It's a force of nature in a way, a spiritual psychological force, right? So as much as I hate the injustice that I'm seeing within the justice system, I have to say, like, this is a force of reckoning. How do we find our sense of conquering the episode of justice in our soul development? So in previous episodes of these tarot diaries, for example, when I was talking about the Emperor, sometimes we see these forces like as external forces, because they very much are, but we don't really find that spiritual and psychological breakthrough until we take it on as an aspect of our own selves. So the Justice card is supposed to be this figure holding a sword in one hand and scales in the other. So the scales, of course, are about balance. If it's fair on this side, it's fair on that side. If the balance is off, then it is off. It's plain to see. And then the sword is exacting. The sword isn't... the suit of swords in tarot is like the opposite of water. Water or air, even. I mean, it's funny because swords is air, the element of air. But anyway, I'm getting distracted. So... water is just like going to penetrate everything. It's warm and loving. It's compassion itself. It's not thinking about, you know, are you bad or good. It's saying you're you, and I feel you. The sword is like a pinpoint. That's like, this is the exact thing I'm looking for, and I'm moving towards that. Everything else doesn't exist to me. So the sword being represented instead of the cup is very telling of the nature of justice. And so what that looks like for each individual is a constant check-in with our own boundaries. What is our sword? What is the position in life that we're moving towards? We are the authority of our actions and how we interact with others. And how are we engaging in that? What is our ethics? What is our gain that we're starting to maneuver the where we place judgment, where we put our conversation, where we put our little moments of power, and how we push through, how we communicate, and if things are right and balanced in that we can do that properly. So that is like a very short summary on that, but it is something to meditate on. And if you're interested in taking the journey of the tarot, and there's no way I can tell for you what that will look like or what your specific revelations would be, because I am not you. And you are here to have your own sort of awakening based on your own realizations. But I am intentionally wanting to make these tarot diaries about me and my experiences and trying to speak firsthand. And I am trying not to so much go into other people's storylines, because I feel like sometimes, they're not always my stories to tell, and it can be overwhelming. So the idea of telling my specific little story is to create the texture of just one pair of eyes in this world, as you are taking in information from all over and constantly hearing all these stories and all this information. It's not for me to be the one, you know, tutorial for all of injustice or justice in this world. You're taking that in all the time. I'm just one little peasant in a modern world, and this is my story.